Matthew 27. Look at, if I'm counting right, five other times about hiding the truth. The devil does not want the truth to get out. He wants to confine and hide the truth because he knows if we really hear and receive and believe the truth, his days are numbered. He will be in trouble. And that's why Jesus, being the truth, when he died, the devil did all he could to keep him in the tomb. He didn't want the truth to get out. We'll read only verse 65 and verse 66, for we certainly hope to remember what I've said before in the verses. Pilate said unto them, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch. We find what we've said before. We talked about the sealing of the stone and the strength of the soldiers and the strategy of Satan. The devil's trying his best. He has a strategy. He has something he's trying to do. He is trying to keep Jesus in that tomb. He's doing his best to do it. He tried his best and tried to accomplish that, but he failed miserably. He did not want the truth to get out. And this morning, he's still trying to hide the truth. He's still trying to do his best to hinder. I've dealt with several different things. Last time I dealt with the fact that Satan wants to deceive. He's trying his best to deceive. He told Eve, "Boy, God's trying to keep something from you. God doesn't want you to enjoy what's in this world." I want to try and look at something else this morning. By the way, the message being illustrated right now. "I have seen your faces." People are looking around. I wonder, listen, since all that noise started, you can go ahead and cut it off, Brother Rodney. Since all that noise started, did you even hear what I said? Probably not much. I'm telling you, he's looking around, and I would have been too. My message this morning is, not only does Satan want to deceive, but listen, he wants to distract. Your minds immediately went from what I was saying to, "What in the world is that noise?" I tell you this morning, the devil's trying to get our attention off what's important. Notice what he said to Eve. It always goes back to the first temptation. You don't have to turn, you just listen. Genesis 3:6, "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise." You know what the devil did? All of the Garden of Eden, every bit of it, was for Adam and Eve, for their enjoyment, their provision, for their provision that they could get the food they needed, just for their pleasure. And God gave them every bit of it, and he said, "Listen, here it is, you can have all you want." But he said, "There's one tree in the middle of the garden. You can't have that. You cannot partake of that." And what did the devil do? He did his best, and it worked, by the way, to distract them from all the good in the garden and get their minds and their thoughts and their appreciation and their actions off of that good stuff, and distracted them to the one thing God said you can't have. And when Eve looked at it, it sure did look good. And it was one that seemed like it could be helpful. The devil is a master of distraction. He's trying his best. He doesn't want the truth to get out. He doesn't want anybody listening to the truth, because he knows if they hear the truth, boy, his days are numbered. His task has failed. His job is over. He'll not have victory. So he does his best to distract. He draws attention away from that which is important and to turns it aside. That's what distract means, to turn aside. And all of a sudden, there's conflicting emotions and conflicting thoughts. I saw it in your eyes. You knew I was speaking, but you heard something else. What in the world is that? You, as James would have said, you were here for a moment, had a double mind. He was trying to think of two things at one time. The devil wants to distract. That's what a magician does. A magician draws our attention off of what he's really doing. And while we're looking in the wrong direction, he's doing what he wants to do to accomplish the trick. And we're amazed at how he did that. Well, he got our attention off of what he was doing. And the devil wants to distract us, and he does. He wants to distract us from what God is doing. He doesn't want the truth out. He doesn't want us to recognize the truth is, I need help. I am a sinner. The Bible says, which is the truth, by the way, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the devil wants to distract your attention from that and let you think about all the good deeds you do, all the people you try to help, and all the good things you try to do. And you think you've got a good heart. The Bible says we have an evil heart. But the devil doesn't want us to focus on the fact that we need somebody that can forgive our sin. And we are a sinner. He gets us distracted. And that's how so many times people end up going to hell. Because they're distracted. He doesn't want us to see ourselves even as the same person. The devil doesn't want us to see us as we are. You are equipped. You are able. You can do it. You can handle it. That's what the devil will tell us. But those things are lies. We cannot handle it. We are not able. We are weak and anemic and sickly. Even us saved people, we need help from God. But the devil doesn't want us to recognize that. So he keeps us distracted. And we try ourselves and do the best we can in trying to work out our problems and make it through somehow instead of running to God and knowing, oh, God, I need you. Will you please help me? The devil's a master of distraction. He gets our minds off the important thing. What is the most important thing in this world? I thought about that this week. I think it can be summarized. You don't have to turn if you just listen to what Jesus said in Luke 10:27. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. I think that summarizes what we're supposed to be in this world. Someone who loves God with all of our heart and all of our mind and all of our strength, with everything that's in us, we are to love Him. And He'll draw us to that and help us to do that. But the devil wants to get us distracted from the things of God and loving Him. And he's a master at doing it. Ecclesiastes 12:1 says something kind of like that. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. The first verse I reference is this. Jesus said we are to love God with everything in us. And then the writer of Ecclesiastes says you ought to do it as soon as you can. Remember the Creator in the days of thy youth. I'll tell you something, young people. Don't you go to this world. The world's a lie. The world's a farce. The world's a trap. Don't you believe the lies you're hearing everywhere in this world. It will confine you. It will bind you. It'll cost you more than you ever want to pay. I say what the writer of Ecclesiastes says. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before you get old and tired, and that habit of sin has gotten a hold of your life. I say this morning, the devil doesn't want the truth out. And he does his best to distract our attention off the truth, because he knows he can control us like that. Now, you think maybe that doesn't matter much. I want to ask you a question. You ladies, some of you married, some of you aren't. But if you're standing at the altar with your beloved, and you're standing facing each other, and you're stating your vows, and he's looking at you, you think, and his eyes are so full of love, and they're so dreamy, and it's like, oh, he just loves me more than anything else in the world. And all of a sudden, as he's speaking to you, and his eyes are gazing with such an amazing look, you notice, he ain't really looking at me. And you get to thinking, well, what in the world is he thinking about? And you get to thinking, and the temptation and the curiosity is more than you can bear. So you finally, real quick, in spite of people looking, you real quick look around, and you notice that buzzard ain't looking at you. He's looking out the window at that new pickup sitting in the parking lot. Got a question. Would it bother you that he got distracted at that moment? Boy, I'll tell you what, it better. If he's dreaming out about a pickup, and by the way, there ain't nothing wrong with that, more than you, you got a problem right now. Years ago, my sister-in-law was riding down the road in her Pinto. That shows you how long it's been. And the windows was open, and a bee flew in. Got to flying down around her legs, and she got to reaching down there and swatting at that bee, wrecked and turned the Pinto upside down. I got a question. Hey, I tell you what, she was distracted from driving. But which was more important at that moment? I know it felt like I got to get that bee dead. That bee's going to sting me, and he probably would have. But which is worse, getting bee stung or turning the Pinto upside down? I'm telling you, our priorities matter. What's most important does matter. And the devil's trying to get our, listen to me, off the garden, all the good blessings and help and provision and grace of God, off of those good things, on the things that really don't matter and may even be wrong. The devil uses, listen, he may use people to distract you. Got a secret? Don't tell anybody. We'll keep it among ourselves. People can cause you problems. By the way, you are a people, and sometimes you can cause the problem. But there are real issues in our lives because of people that are causing us trouble. And sometimes it's because they ain't doing right. And if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes off of God and on that person or on those people, what they said, what they did, what they haven't done. And listen, we may be right in our estimation of them, but we dare not get our eyes off of Him and on them. If you ever get your eyes off of Him and on them, you're in trouble. And if I know that and you know that, don't we think the devil knows that? Sure he does. And one of his best tricks of distracting even God's people is putting people in our lives to get our eyes off of God. I tell you what, it may break your heart what they're doing. It may even make you mad what they're doing. And what they're doing may be as wrong as it can be. But listen, don't get your eyes off of Him and on them. The devil's a liar. He tries to use people, and sometimes good people. Sometimes bad people. People that'll influence you wrong. And if you follow them, you're going to go the wrong way every time. Now, the music that I played earlier today with the piano, wasn't that good, by the way? Didn't I do good? I'm going to buy me a bus. I intentionally made it little strokes, but then enough to make you notice. My point is this, it wasn't much, but it was enough to distract you. And it doesn't take much. There was only one tree among many. There was only a little fruit among much fruit. But it distracted Eve and Adam, by the way. And that's exactly what the devil tries to do with us. He'll use people. He'll try and use prosperity. I joked about the man getting married looking in the truck. Hey, the problem you have this morning may not be a bar stool. It may be the Ford showroom, or the Chevrolet showroom, or the Toyota showroom, or the Isuzu. Do they still make them? Showroom. Things. We ain't careful, get our eyes off of him and on them. That. The devil is a master of distraction. He's a master of deception, deceiving us, but he's a master of distraction. Look here. All it takes is just a little bit. If my goal is those back doors, if my goal is going down this aisle and getting out of those back doors, I got to keep focused. I got to keep going right that direction. All I got to do is just that right there, and I'm not getting out those doors. It doesn't take much distraction to get us off the path of pleasing God. Listen, listen, of getting help from him. Boy, we need help from him. In that garden was help for Adam and Eve. In that garden was the provision they needed day by day. And the devil got their eyes off of that and onto the one thing God said no to. He'll use people. He may try and use prosperity. He may use problems. I'll tell you one, we're in a world of problems. Every time I talk to somebody else, get a phone call, get an email, get a text, I think, another one? More sickness, more problem, more tears, more heartache, another situation. And I hear it, and I hear it, and I think, my goodness, and I talk to other preachers, and they say it's the same way with our churches, the same way with this minister, the same way with the people I know. Everywhere there's problems. And if we're not careful, we'll get our eyes off of him and on the problem. And listen, a little problem seems awful big when you lose sight of him. And I'll tell you one thing, a little problem will become a big problem if we get our eyes off of him. And I'll tell you one thing, there's some folks that's got some not little problems, big problems. You got some problems, if God doesn't move, you're in trouble. If God doesn't handle it, things are going to not get better and maybe get worse. And in this time, especially, you better not get your eyes off of him. The devil wants to distract you from him, the Lord. Oh, God's provision, God's ability, God's love. Get your eyes on the problem. Because he knows if he can distract you, he's got you. By the way, the you is me too. I'm preaching to myself. He may use people. He may try and use prosperity. May try and use problems. There's no telling what he might try to use, but he's trying to distract us. He's trying to hinder us. He's trying to get our minds off of the Lord and the good things from him. He may try and use pleasure. Did you hear the verse? She looked at the tree and it was good. I've said this before, I think it looked as good as any fruit in the garden. I believe, I don't know if it was an apple or a pear or a peach, I don't know, nobody else does. But I know this, the fruit that it bore and the tree itself was a thing of beauty, and I believe when they took it, the taste of it was good. And sometimes the devil will try and get her eyes off of him, the Lord, and on pleasure, comfort. We are entertainment addicts. The electronics of our nation especially have made us entertainment addicts. We won't sit for 5 minutes anymore in silence and let God speak to us. We're going to have something going, something moving, something making noise. Get in the car, and the first thing you do is turn on something. And by the way, there ain't nothing really wrong with that a lot of times. unless that something becomes more important than him. And a lot of what I mentioned this morning is not really wrong in itself, unless it becomes more important than him or a priority in our lives. The devil will make us so busy running, going to work and doing that we don't have time for him. And all he's done is distracted us from him to that whatever. And in the process, he's won and we're losing. He's a master of deception. He's a master of distraction. He wants to distract us from that which is best, from that which is godly, and that is good, and that which helps us and blesses us. And in the process, we're missing all of God's best. They not only ate of the fruit, they weren't supposed to. They, for a while, and then, to tell you the truth, forever, missed the good things God had for them. No wonder the devil likes to distract us so much. It works. He accomplishes his will. He doesn't want the truth out. He wants to distract us. It affects us. When we're distracted, it affects our dedication. Best I can tell, up to the time when the devil came to the garden through the serpent and spoke to Eve, and she listened, and then Adam listened to her, and they both sinned. Best I can tell, up to that point, they didn't do one thing wrong. Up to that point, they were dedicated to God's plan. But once she got to look into that tree she wasn't supposed to look at, God's plan went out the window. Her dedication to God's will, her dedication to pleasing him, went out the window. And that's why the devil tries to distract us to looking at anything other than the Lord. Because in the process of looking at that, we get our minds off of the dedication of him, serving him, loving him, pleasing him. It affects our dedication. It affects our devotion. Did you hear the verses that I read? That you love the Lord your God with everything that's in you? That's a love. That's a devotion. That's a giving ourselves to him because we love him. And Jesus said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can't do both. You didn't listen to the piano ting, 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 and listen to me and get both of them. Your mind was one to the other because of distraction. That's what the devil does. It affects our dedication. It affects our devotion. It affects our desire. It affects our destination. Or he said, if I'm heading out those doors and that's my goal, I got to keep focused on it. If I get distracted in the least, I'm not reaching my goal. My destination is changed when I get distracted. The other day, I don't remember where I was going, but I'm so used to coming here that I jumped in the car, took off. Next thing I knew, I was here, and I thought, here ain't where I was coming. I'm supposed to keep going down the highway and not turning that old 108. But I'm just so used to doing it. It was my car's fault. It just came here. Because I was thinking of something instead of going where I was supposed to go. And because I got distracted, I ended up at the wrong place. I guarantee you one thing. Listen to me. Adam and Eve ended up at a place they didn't want to go to. And if you aren't careful as a lost person, all the devil's going to do is just keep you distracted from your need for a Savior, and from Jesus, the Savior who will forgive you. Just keep you distracted long enough to where your life ends and your destination is going to be hell. Doesn't take anything big. Ding, 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 bum, bum. That's all you heard earlier. But you're looking around like, what in the world is that? It doesn't take much to distract us from the, here's the word, truth. And as a saved person, when we get distracted from loving Him with all of our heart, listen to me, loving Him with all of our heart, we're going to be going the wrong direction. It changes our direction, our destination. The devil is trying to distract you because he doesn't want you to get God's help. And he doesn't want us to love our God. And if you're not saved, he doesn't want you to get saved. And all he's doing, did you follow my hand? What was I doing with this hand? You don't know. That's what the devil does expertly. He's a master of distraction. This morning, I want to do what the Lord says. Listen to the truth. The devil doesn't want the truth to get out. Listen to the truth. Number one, if you're not saved, you need to be saved. Number two, there's a Savior who died for you where you can be saved. And He loves you. He loves you enough to die for you. That's a pretty good indication that He loves you. But if you don't get saved, if you don't call on Him, if you don't turn to Him, believe on Him, you're going to go to hell just like anybody else in this world. But you don't have to. This morning, don't let the devil distract you from accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right here, right now. As a saved person, God's will is that we love God with all of our hearts and strength and mind and everything that's in us. And the devil doesn't want that to happen. And he's trying to distract us to keep it from happening, and it's working so many times. This morning, would you just come and say, Lord, I don't want to be distracted anymore. I really do want to love You. I know if I do, it's going to have to be You and Your grace and Your help. But I'm coming to You and asking You to help me to do it. Let's stand together, heads bowed and eyes closed. You've heard the message. Will you listen to what the Lord says? This altar is here. More importantly, the Lord's here to help you. Will you listen to what God says? Father, please speak to hearts. May we hear You. We call on You. We rely on You. We trust You, Lord. Thank You for what You're doing, what You're going to do in the next few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen.